Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what percentage of the Polish population was Jewish in 1935, and where did most of them live? Last week, Franciszek Bojanczyk spoke with us about the history of the Jews in Poland from the first traders 1,000 years ago through the beginning of the 19th century. This week, we're picking up the story where he left off, and we'll hear about how the Jewish communities developed from that time until now.
Since the reform in all three parts of Poland, along with the Industrial Revolution, there are some new changes, there are some new waves and new thoughts which are coming to Poland, not only Haskala, but also industrialization. So especially in the second half of the 19th century, we see a big change of Jewish life in Poland, especially in the Russian part, Russian partition, which was the biggest. There are some factories which are founded by Polish Jews. For some members of the Jewish community, it's a great moment to leave the Jewish community when they see that it's possible to make businesses which are now growing because of the industrial revolution. They're starting to speak Russian or Polish, especially Russian because it was the language of the administration, living the Jewish life, living communities, and starting to build factories, to build companies, and especially companies which are connected to railway industry, which was very poor developed in Russia. And the other area on which they're working is the textile industry. This is what we see in Łódź, for example, where the famous Jewish chapter of the Łódź history, Israel Poznański, is one of the people who are living in a Jewish Orthodox community. He remains in the Jewish life, he speaks Yiddish still, he goes to the synagogue, but it's one of the symbols that Jewish life in Poland is changing. People are choosing differently than they did before. There are some people for example, Alexander Bloch, who are dealing with the railway industry. They are building railroads on the territory of Poland. For example, a railway from Warsaw to Vienna, which was opened in 1848. It's the second railroad in the Russian Empire. It was built also by some Jewish industrialists. So this is a big wave of modernization going on in the Russian Empire, but also the Jewish communities are growing not only because of the industrialization, but first of all because of the Orthodox community. So of course, yeah, there is some assimilation. There are people who are working and trying to become members of the Polish society or the Russian society. But of course, the majority is still Orthodox. There are some mitnagdim, the people who are against the Hasidic movement, but that they are still Orthodox. And the center of this life is in Vilna, in 19th century, of course, one of the cities of the Russian Empire. And we see this fight of Misnagdim and the Hasidic movement. They are fighting. This is the majority of the Jewish life. But the 19th century, it's a century of changes, of different movements. And the end of the 19th century, of course, there are not only religious movements, but the political activities are starting among Polish Jews. We see socialist movement. Jews were engaged in the socialist movements. For example, the Bund movement, which started in 1897 in Vilna, when the industry in Poland is, in Russia of course, is growing. There is a new working class, so they think they have to fight for the rights of the Jewish members of the working class. So this is why Bund is organized, is founded in the end of the 19th century. But of course, there are some people who think it's that socialist movements are good, but not in the Yiddish sense. They're looking for something different. And this is why in the end of the 19th century, we see Polish Zionism growing. There are some people, especially from Galicia, who are starting some Zionist parties. We have Chibat Zion, so Lovers of Zion Conference in Katowice. So there are different movements. And of course, there are some religious political movements, for example, Agudas Israel, party which still exists. in Israel. It's founded in the beginning of the 20th century, but before the First World War, as we know, everything which happened before the First World War, it actually belongs to 19th century. So this is a time not only of the modernization in the industrial sense, but also a political one.
But at that time also, from the end of the 19th century, from about 1880, there was a lot of emigration out of Poland towards the United States. What caused that?
Of course, yeah, that's a very important factor. Immigration, especially from Galicia, especially, and then the other wave from Kingdom of Poland, was due to very bad conditions in which people were forced to live. In Galicia, there were people even dying from hunger. It was a very neglected province of Austrian-Hungarian Empire. And this was also in Russia and the Kingdom of Poland. People were emigrated because they really didn't have anything to live from. So we see thousands of people, even millions. There was 1,200,000 people who emigrated from Galicia. So there are people escaping these poor conditions. Not only Jews, but also Ukrainians, Poles, were looking for a better life in the United States and also in other countries. In the beginning of the 20th century, you see some Jewish emigration and Polish emigration to Argentina, to Brazil, to other countries, and then, of course, later on to Palestine. It wasn't so big, but it was caused by very poor conditions in which they were forced to leave. This is not a surprise that the name of the province, Galicia and Lodomeria, which was invented by Austrians, was sometimes translated to Galicia and Glodomeria, which means that it was a province of naked people and hunger, which is the Polish words meaning hunger, Glodomeria. So, yeah, people were living in very poor conditions. They were emigrating to the United States and establishing their new life, sometimes the same life as they had in Poland. They were speaking Yiddish, they were building communities and synagogues, not in a Polish style, but they were using the same words. The life was exactly like they had before. Modernization is going on, but of course, yeah, we have the poor parts of the society. And then we have the First World War, the Great War, which was also part of the Jewish life, where a lot of Jews were forced to go to the front. Some 900,000 people were forced to fight for different empires. We see Jews fighting in the Austrian army, there are some Jews fighting in the Prussian army, in the Russian army they are fighting against each other, as it was with Poles, Ukrainians, and everything, especially on the Eastern Front. They are fighting in armies, sometimes far away from their homes. So it's very tragic period. When we look on the statistics, more Jews died during the First World War than they were supposed to. So, for example, when we look on the how many Jews were living here before the war, and we look on the community after the First World War, we see that more Jews died in the war, for example, Ukrainians, like according to percentage. So it was a tragic event, and now we have 2014, we are talking more than we did about the First World War, but there are some people who still tend to forget the First World War was a tragic event also for the Jewish community. There were pogroms, especially caused by the Russian forces, so a very important event in the Polish and the Jewish history. And after the First World War, Poland regains its independence in 1918, and there is the second golden period in the history of Poland. Poland is reborn with new territories. It's not as big as it was in the 18th century before the partitions, but it's still quite big. Jewish community is growing, and according to national poll in 1935, there are some 3.5 million Jews living in Poland, and they are 10% of the entire society. So that's a big Jewish center in Poland, and it's the second one in the world after the United States.
And I imagine that in certain parts of Poland, it must have been a much higher percentage.
Of course, yeah. There are some small places, some shtetl, in which Jews are not 10% of the society. But for example, in eastern Poland, in Galicia, or in smaller Poland, so Małopolska, so near Kraków, there are some places in which Jews are, for example, 90% of the community. So, yeah, that's not only 10%. 20%, but even higher, especially Eastern Poland. Yeah, the Western Poland, which was part of Prussia and Austria sometimes, is less populated with Jews than Eastern Poland, which was neglected, with people were living in poor conditions, who did not emigrate to United States or South America and was still living in the eastern part of Poland, was living probably in a small shtetl with just a small community of Poles and or Ukrainians. Jewish communities are growing really, really fast in the second, so-called Second Polish Republic. The Jewish life is now changing its style. There's of course a Yiddish part of the society speaking Yiddish, but since the assimilation took place in the beginning of the 20th century and in the end of the 19th century, there is a Jewish-Polish press, there is even a Hebrew-Polish press, or there are other movements and political parties founded in the Second Polish Republic. There are some Jewish members of the parliament, so Jewish communities are really part of the society. There are representatives of the Jewish community even in Polish authorities. There is even a Jewish minister, a representative of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs who travels for the Versailles Congress. So yeah, they are the community is quite important. On the other side, we see some symbols of anti-Semitism, which is not so popular as it was, for example, during the First World War. But there are some pogroms, as for example in Przytyk in the 30s. There are some Polish-Jewish tensions. There are some problems on the universities. Jews are not accepted everywhere. And this is especially in the 30s, when one of the creators of the Polish independence, Józef Piłsudski, Marshal of Poland, dies in 1935, the situation of Jews in Poland is getting worse and worse. Yeah, so there are some problems.
What caused this right then?
I think the main reason is growing of the national movement in Poland in the 30s, and also the two things are connected with each other. The national movement in Poland is growing because of the economical crisis which arose in Europe, and they are looking for some group who could be the reason of it. A Jewish committee is perfect. There are a lot of Jewish lawyers, a lot of Jewish doctors, and they have work, they are earning a lot of money, and there is a lot of unemployment, so probably they are the people who are guilty. So when the nationalist movement is growing, they are looking for some people to fight against, and this is the Jewish community, and this is why in the 30s we see some anti-Jewish demonstrations, even in Warsaw, even in big cities, in Vilna, and this is why we have tensions at the universities. So the tensions are growing, and they are growing in 1938. There are even some anti-Jewish acts. For example, an act which forbade shechita, the ritual slaughtering, in 1938. There is a big discussion over citizenship. Some members of the Jewish community lost their Polish citizenship because they didn't show enough loyalty to the Polish state. So there are some big discussions in the end of the 30s. And when we see some tensions during the Second World War, when we talk about, for example, Jedwabne pogroms, there are some tensions which were already present in the 30s. So what happened sometimes in the 30s also happened during the Second World War, which for Poland began quite quickly because Adolf Hitler chose Poland to be his first target. German forces invade Poland in September 1939, then Russian forces also invade Poland 17 days after German forces. And the actions against the Jewish community, they started quite early. In 1939 we have first murders. In October we see anti-Jewish discrimination. And then in 1940s the ghettos are founded. So it goes quite quick. The biggest ghetto is established in Warsaw in November 1940, but it's not the first ghetto on the territories of Poland. The first one was in Piotrków, And after Piotrków, after Warsaw, after Łódź, which was also one of the biggest ghettos, the areas are established. And in the end of the 1940, almost every province of Poland is filled with Jewish ghettos, and the Germans are starting their action to gather Jews, and then after the Wannsee Conference in 1942, to send them to death camps. Which are located for the reason on the territory of Poland. Treblinka, Sobibór, and especially Auschwitz-Birkenau, they are located on the territory of Poland because the biggest population is here in Poland, so in order to not to transport them to other places, Germans are trying to build concentration camps here, but also they don't want any evidences of their actions, and Poland is perfect for it. It's not their territory, and this big action of sending Jews to concentration camps starts in 1942, as for example in Warsaw in July 22, a big liquidation action of the Warsaw ghetto started. Thousands of Jews are sent to Treblinka from a railway station, from Umschlagplatz. Thousands of people are sent to the concentration camps. And since 1942, ghettos are diminished and the Jewish life in Poland partially disappears.
How many Jews were there in Poland before the war, and how many remained after the war? Do you know?
Yeah. Before the war, there were 3,500,000 Jews in Poland. Only 300,000 Jews survived the Nazi occupation and the Holocaust. Yeah. So the difference is huge. About 90% of the Jewish population in Poland was murdered in Nazi concentration camps.
So tell us what happened after the war from, let's say, 1945 till now.
In 1945, the survivors, the death camps, are returning to Poland. This 300,000 group is going back to their cities. They are trying to rebuild their lives in Warsaw, in Łódź, especially in Łódź, which becomes a capital of Poland, just for a moment. They are trying to establish their organization, their life, schools and everything. And so in the beginning of 40s, there is some kind of Jewish life in Poland, and especially in the western part, in the Silesia, Wrocław, which is regained after the war. Before it was part of Germany, then after the war it was handed over to Poland by Russians. In Wrocław, the Jewish schools, there are synagogues, everything is going back to normality. But unfortunately, only for a moment. When the Stalinism began in 1949, when there is a growing terror, Russian terror, Jewish life had to be erased. Jewish communities are trying to escape Poland. Jews are trying to escape Poland. They are going especially to the south. They are escaping Silesia. In Silesia, there were about 60, or maybe even 90,000 people after the war in small cities. They are now trying to escape Poland. From Poland, they are going to Czech Republic, and then from Czech Republic to Italy, from Italy especially to Israel. There are only small communities which are trying to stay in Poland, in Warsaw, and to build Jewish life under the flag of the TSKZ, the Society of Jews in Poland, the Cultural Society of Jews in Poland. This is the only organization which is legal in Poland, in communist Poland, after the 40s. So in the 40s we have this moment of rebuilding Jewish community after they are forced to leave. There is only one organization, TSKZ, and there is a small Jewish community in Poland since the 1940s until 1967. In 1967, when the Six-Day War broke out, Władysław Gomułka, the first secretary of the Polish Communist Party, he accused Jews of being supporters of the Israel. Of course, the Soviet Union was supporting Arab countries, so if Jews were supporting Israel, of course it was totally lied, he just invented it. Of course, there were some Jews who were supporting Israel, of course it was a Jewish state, but many of them were even members of the Communist Party. They were not engaged in the political life, but he accused them of being supporters of Israel. And in 1967 and 1968, an anti-Semitic campaign starts, especially the motor General Motor, who was Minister of the Internal Affairs, started a campaign against Jewish officers in the army, against Jewish journalists, and Jews are once again forced to leave Poland. They are given passports, only one-way passports. Many of them are escaping Poland. They are migrating to Sweden, to Denmark, to Israel, of course, to France. And there is a big emigration, which is a little bit different than it was before. In 1940s, there were some people who were going to Israel or other countries because they were poor. They thought it's not their country, or they were, of course, there were a lot of tragedies because they lost their families, so they wanted a new place to start from the beginning. In 60s, it's a little bit different. There are people who stayed in Poland because they thought it's their place. So they're engaged in the political movement. Many of them were, as I said, they were members of the party. They were professors at the university. They were well educated. And now there is one guy, Gomułka, the first secretary, who suddenly says that it's not their country. They have to emigrate. It's a big shock for them. And when they leave Poland in 1968, especially in March 1968, they go to Israel. It's very hard for them. They have to start from the beginning, but they know Polish. They do not speak Yiddish, many of them. They do not speak Yiddish. Of course, they do not speak Hebrew, so it's very hard for them. It's different from what it was in the 40s. About 12,000 Jews emigrated from Poland in March 1968.
Do you think that the real reason was the 67 war, the Six-Day War, or was there something else that was just kind of waiting to happen?
Motor and the General Motor and his allies in the Polish army, probably they came from very poor parts of the society. And probably they were anti-Semites since the war, and they were just waiting for the right moment. So when Gomułka saw that there is a good moment to start this campaign, probably those anti-Semitic attitudes in some parts of the Polish army, especially army and the security services, secret police, for example, they just came up with this because it was the right moment to do it. And then, since 1968, Jewish life in Poland is almost invisible. There are some Jews in Poland, but there is nothing like Jewish life. There is Yiddish press is almost invisible also in Poland, and 20 years of waiting for a new time to come, and this time comes in 1989 when Solidarity movement, this huge movement of social opposition, finally turned down the communist power, and a new Poland begins in 1989. After the negotiations with communist power, a new republic is founded, the Third Polish Republic. And with this new republic, a new Jewish life is starting. In the 90s, it's quite difficult to say that it's a new Jewish life. We do not see many organizations, but some people are coming from the shadows. They are trying to establish something new. And this is what we see, especially in the beginning of the 21st century, that new festivals, Jewish cultural festivals, are organized in many cities, not only in Krakow, but also in Wrocław, in Poznań, in Warsaw, in Lublin. There is a new Jewish life, but not only on the cultural area, but Jewish communities, religious communities are founded or reopened after years. Jewish communities are fighting also for some recompensation, money for some funds, because they were taken, the communist power taken synagogues and just made their shops or something. In the 90s and in the beginning of the 21st century, they are fighting for their rights. So there is a revival in there's some kind of revival in the Jewish life in Poland, the Third Republic. And also there are some people who are coming from the shadows, so-called the hidden Jews, people who know that they have some Jewish origins, but they were too afraid to admit it during the communist times, especially after March 1968. And now they think that's the right moment to show their origins. There are new organizations founded, for example, the Jewish Youth Movement in Poland. They are some young Jews, hidden Jews, coming and showing their identities. So,
when you talk about people who are rediscovering their origins, are these people who, let's say, in their families there were Jewish practices but they didn't want anybody to know, or these are just people who know that their grandparents were Jewish?
Exactly, that's the second. Most of the cases are connected with people who now, when they see people coming to the Jewish culture festivals, sometimes they even think it's just in fashions to be identified with the Jewish culture. They know that they had some Jewish ancestors, so this is why they want to become members of the Jewish community. Of course, there are some families in which they keep up with the Jewish tradition, but most of them are simply people who think who think it's right moment to rediscover their identities, and they know that they had grandfather. Okay, so this is now the moment to work with it.
Is there much anti-Semitism now?
I would just quote our chief rabbi, Michael Schildrick, who came from the United States, from New York, so I think he's the best person to quote. He says that anti-Semitism is in Poland, it's like in other countries in Europe, and even maybe it's smaller than in other countries, because of course there are some people who still are, for example, writing on walls, like the Start of David, with some improper words, Hitler, which is added to the Start of David. Of course, there are some people like this. But that's an anti-Semitism without Jews. They, many Poles have never met a Jew in their lives, so if they are writing something on the walls, or they are shouting, or they are on the internet, we can find some anti-Semitic comments. But they probably do it because they do not know real Jews, because the community is still very small. It's very hard to meet a real Jew, so-called. So probably they hate or they do not like them, like they do not like Afro-American community or the LGBT communities. It's the same situation because they do not know. Poland nowadays, it's a one nation state. About 98% of Poles are Poles. Polish citizens are Poles. And about 97% of the population is Roman Catholic. So it's very hard to meet someone from the other side. It's very hard to see what are the traditions of the other parts of the society. And this is why the Polish, so-called Polish anti-Semitism, is just ignorance. It's nothing more. And it's a very new feeling for Poland, because it never happened. In Poland for centuries, for example, in the Second Polish Republic, it was a commonwealth of many nations, of many religions. And for the first time in its history, Poland has to deal with a society of one nation. It's also one of the reasons why it's so hard to deal with some anti-Semitic events, because people are not prepared for it. That's something very, very new.
Are you optimistic about the future?
Very optimistic, really. I have to say that according to what we can see now, many people coming to the Jewish culture festivals, but not only, learning Hebrew, learning Yiddish, we see that there is a vital change in Poland, in the Polish society. For example, there are a lot of Israelis coming to Poland. Now the Israeli community in Warsaw, it's like 300, maybe 400 Israelis in Warsaw, and they say that they didn't expect Poland to be like this. Just Poland is so different from what it was in the 90s. There is a big change in the Polish society. Of course, there are still some acts of anti-Semitism, but I think there is a big change in it. And even there are some people who say that because of this Jewish revival, which is happening, I think, in Poland nowadays, the other parts of the Polish society, we do not speak about them. For example, we do not speak about our Ukrainian past. We have many problems with our eastern part of Poland. We still do not remember about Orthodox community in Poland, because we organize so many Jewish culture festivals. It's great that we do it. We still need a lot of time to work on this past. But it's true that now the cultural life is sometimes sometimes dedicated only to this Jewish component, and we sometimes tend to forget about the other parts of the society. So yes, I'm quite optimistic about the future, but as some people coming to Poland, especially former inhabitants of Poland say, we lost so many during the time of the communist that now we have a lot of things to do. Yeah, so a lot of things to do, but still I think we are going in a good direction.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We hope that this background in the history of the Jews in Poland will help you to better understand and appreciate what Jewish life is like in Poland today. In the upcoming weeks, we'll speak with people who are involved in diverse aspects of Jewish cultural and religious life in different parts of the country. And we hope that you'll be pleasantly surprised by the vitality of Poland's present-day Jewish communities. Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is englishcorner@radiosefarad.com. See you next week.